This pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, Dashayam tadvidam loka atmano bhakta vashyatam. Bhagavatam 10.11.9. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of his devotees, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. Eko pyaso rachayitam jagadanda kotim yaj chakti asti jagadanda chaya yad antaha and antarasta paramanu chayantarastam govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. By this one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods, yet he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated, and Mother Yashoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one who is poverty-stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna, yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee. But a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This bhritya vashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. In Bhagavad Gita 1.21, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Seneo ubayo majye ratam sthapaya me chuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore one may argue that Krishna also is not independent. But this is one's ajnana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of Ananda Chinmaya Ras, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. Evam sandashita hyanga harina britya vashyata sva vashena api krishnena yasedam sheshvaram vashe. So, Krishna is controlling this entire universe, and yet he's a small boy. And of course, Lord Brahma became bewildered by this. He was seeing Krishna playing with his, having lunch with his gopa friends in the forest of Vrindavan, and holding various foodstuffs in his hands. They were all getting squashed, and they were playing what might be considered silly games, like children do. But of course, they're great fun, so they're not. It's not silly. So it's very easy to misunderstand that actually Krishna, he's just an ordinary child, especially in pastimes like this that we're celebrating at the moment, that Krishna's not he's not the Almighty Lord. That's most of us have been brought up. Those of us who have been brought up in another tradition, like the Christian tradition, it's the Lord is Almighty, and that's the predominant mood, I think, generally. That he's almighty. And so this pastime of Krishna running away from Mother Yashoda is a wonderful pastime for helping us to realize Krishna's multifarious, or the multifarious facets of Krishna and his personality. That he is, of course, that Supreme Lord, Vishnu or Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets. But he's also just a small boy who's controlled by the love of his devotee. That's an interesting point that Srila Prabhupada brings up in the purport. That actually he's not controlled by his devotee, he's controlled by the love of his devotee. So, he's doing various activities which actually are controlling the hearts of his devotees. Mother Yashoda, so the first verse that I'm speaking on is verse 5 of Sri Damodarastakam. Idam te mukham bojam adyantanile ritam kuntalai snigdas raktais chigopya muhus chumbitam bimba raktadam raktadarame manasavirastam alam laksha labhe. So Mother Yashoda, she's kissing the face of Lord Krishna again and again. She can't stop kissing him. It's too irresistible. She just can't stop kissing. So she's actually controlled also by Lord Krishna in this form. And there's no question of being able to do that with Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu. Wow. Just the thought of it, you know. But Lord Krishna is so kind. He's appearing in this this small child form, little child form. So cute. Children are so attractive, aren't they? That they just steal the heart. So what to speak of ordinary children? Actually, any small newborn or most newborn young are very attractive. That's why in this country people are very fond of dogs, because little puppies, they just can't resist them. Or kittens like that. They're just naturally, Krishna makes it that way so that people want to, or their parents and ones who look after them. And they can't help it. You become controlled by the beauty, the attractiveness of the youngster. So Krishna is appearing in that way. So Mother Yashoda, so his face becomes reddened. It says, your supremely enchanting face. So this is, he's appearing in this form as a supremely enchanting face, encircled by shining locks of dark blue curling hair. Resembles the fully blossomed lotus, tinged with a reddish luster, due to being kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda. So, actually, I saw one video, some of you may have seen this Krishna series on, I think they were selling it in the shop, one devotee lent me as I was, and Krishna was portrayed there at this kind of age, and not so much Mother Yashoda, but other gopis were dancing around Krishna, and then every once in a while, one devotee would step out of the ring that they were dancing in and grab Krishna and start kissing him all over. And but in this, Krishna was kind of like reluctant. He was like this, like sometimes older children, young children, they're happy to be fully cuddled and everything, but older children, at a certain age, they start, so they portrayed him like that. But but I'm sure that Krishna, he was actually very happy to be kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda. That's what he wanted. That's what he desired. So the translation of the verse goes on. May this vision of your lotus face with lips as red as bimba fruit remain forever in my heart. Excuse me. millions of other benedictions are of no benefit to me. So, this is the real benediction that we can receive in by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's nothing else really which we can get. No other benediction which will actually satisfy us as much as receiving, getting this vision. So Sanatana Goswami in the commentary he's made on these verses, he's explaining, actually it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but also Sanatana Goswami, that this prayer, that longing for the association of the Lord in the heart, is the best means to achieve Him. So that this is Krishna's mercy. That's why He's appeared performing these pastimes, so that actually we can lock Krishna in our hearts. So that, because as He says in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, whatever one remembers at the time of quitting his body, that state he will attain without fail. So therefore, he's giving us the opportunity to actually see him in this form as a child, performing these pastimes. Because in that way, then we're sure to actually go back to him, back to the spiritual world. But we've got to develop a longing to see the beautiful face of the Lord. And unfortunately, the tendency is that we're interested in other things. We're interested in, Queen Kunti explained, that if we're trying to improve ourselves with increasing our bodily beauty, good family. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Wealth, acquiring wealth, or any other thing actually, then the tendency is we're actually not even interested in seeing the lotus feet of, or the lotus face, as it's talking of here, of Krishna. So that is most unfortunate. But this beautiful lotus face of the Lord is supremely enchanting, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. Idam te mukambo jam. It's supremely enchanting. Indescribably sweet. That's how he describes it. Indescribably sweet. So, it's just a question of actually there's things covering our heart. Just like the mirror of our heart is covered by the dust of so many lifetimes. So, therefore we have to cultivate. That's why every year Srila Prabhupada has made this arrangement that for a whole month we will sing the Sri Damodarashtakam. Offer a candle, so that gradually we can cultivate that attachment to Krishna in the form of Lord Damodar. He also describes Sri Krishna, Lord Damodar's lotus face, as the treasure house of supreme bliss. This is what we're all looking for, supreme bliss. And nothing else will really satisfy us. Just like it says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Atoksaje, Ahoituki Apratihata, Yayatma Suprasiddhati, Yayatma Suprasiddhati. That for the soul to feel completely satisfied, we have to have unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service to the Lord. So, this is the only way we will actually really find satisfaction, not from any other benediction, just by actually having unmotivated, uninterrupted loving service to the Lord. That's the supreme occupation, the supreme dharma. So that is what Mother Yashoda's actually experiencing also. She's completely blissful. Then all anxiety and distress disappear. Just like it also says in the second chapter of Bhagavatam, that as soon as unalloyed devotional service is established within the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear completely from the heart. Then the devotee is established within in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. So Krishna just wants us to be completely happy. So therefore, he's performing these pastimes. Then all anxiety and distress disappear. So that's in the fifth verse, the prayer. That may that lotus face, Mukambojam, manifest within the mind, even just once. Just like Narad Muni, when he was in his previous life, actually. He wasn't Narad Muni at that point. But Narad Muni, after he'd received the association of the Bhaktivedantas, and his mother was had died, he walked north towards the mountains, and he saw Krishna, he saw the Supreme Lord, but then he disappeared. He just saw him once, and he heard a voice that said, "You won't see me again." So, and this was to increase his longing. So this is what this verse is about. It's longing to receive the to see the lotus face of the Lord within the heart. Manasi avaryastam, even just once, because then that longing will be there. So sometimes we may have had that experience. We've had a blissful experience in Krishna consciousness, but then it seems to go away, and we have to struggle so much. Sometimes. But that is just Krishna's arrangement. We can take encouragement that if we just persevere, just like Narad Muni, he persevered. And in the end, he actually became the great soul Narad Muni and was able to see Krishna at will. He could go to the spiritual, he could come to the material world, but he could go to the spiritual world. He could visit Krishna anywhere in any of the Vaikuntha planets. He could go to Goloka Vrindavan, so even once is valuable. But it says also, or again and again, that is the prayer, muhu, again and again, or constantly, sada. So obviously we want, our goal is to see Krishna constantly at all times. So, but the purport is saying that the concept of sada, which is carried over from the previous verse, is given a definite conclusion in this verse, and that all three meanings are there. That we may just see the lotus face of Krishna once, or again and again, or constantly, like that. So the sixth verse, Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishyati Dinam Batanu Krihanesha Mam Agyam Edyakshi Drishya. O Damodara, O Lord of Divine Beauty and Unlimited Mercy. This translation is slightly different to the one we say after singing. O Damodar, O Lord of Divine Beauty and Unlimited Mercy, O All-Pervading Vishnu, I offer my obeisances unto you. May you be pleased with me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow and feeling almost dead. Shower your nectar-laden glances upon me, thereby uplifting me and enthusing me with life. Please accept me, O Lord, and become visible before my eyes. So it's explained that feelings of love arise from the purity and potency of longing, this lolam. So that's what the previous verse was explaining, that we have to become attached to the lotus face of Krishna. So, and then that longing to again see Krishna purifies our hearts. Then that satisfaction of beholding the beauty of Krishna directly, shakshat darshana, becomes possible. And so in this verse, the Acharya explains that the supreme method, param sadhana, to attain this goal is explained, which is chanting of the holy name, Srinam Sankirtan. So because it's explaining, it's saying, O Damodar, O Lord of Divine Beauty, Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu. So Satyavrata Muni begins the verse by chanting the holy names. The name Deva indicates, Hey Divya Rupa, O Lord of Divine Beauty. So no other beauty can compare to Krishna's beauty. And the name Damodar, he describes as referring specifically to his glorious quality of Bhaktavatsala, because obviously he's tied up by the rope, by actually the love of his devotee. So therefore, Damodar is referring to that quality, his Bhaktavatsala quality, coming under the sway of the devotee's pure love for him. And then, he who is unlimited, with no end, Ananta. So that indicates the inconceivable, infallible, beginningless, has unlimited forms for sporting in divine pastimes. But yet, he is this small boy. And then he explains that because he's inconceivable, there's no way actually that we can't force him to appear, but only by his own mercy. Of course, apparently he's forced by the love of his devotee, but he has to want to be. He has to want to be controlled by the love of his devotee. So, and then the name Vishnu connotes he who is all-pervading. Thus, there can be no difficulty for him to appear before our eyes. So, that's one point, that actually, most people, obviously, we have to invent so many methods like Skype or TV, whatever, in order to be able to see somebody at a distance. But Lord Krishna, he's everywhere. So what is the difficulty in him actually appearing in our hearts or even actually before our eyes? Because the previous verse, the fifth verse, was talking about actually Krishna appearing in our hearts, in our minds. But this verse is actually, please accept me, O Lord, and become visible before my eyes, actually visible in front of me. So that's the prayer here, that actually we can see Krishna. And that means actually that we'll also be in the spiritual world. And then in the last line, it's referring to Isha, Grihana Isha. So that refers, of course, to the supreme controller, who's completely independent. And he says, or the poet prays, please accept this prayer, O independent Lord, for nothing can cause you to act. You may accept my entreaty or not by your own sweet will. Still, I will continue to hope. So we have to have that hope, that strong hope that actually in the end we will get prasida, we will get the Lord's mercy. Because Dukkha Jalabdhi Magnam. We are drowning in an ocean of misery. Dukkha, suffering, jala, a network of misery, and abdi, an ocean. So it's explained that dukkha denotes the pain of retreat, of repeated birth and death, or the agony of being separated from the Lord's presence. Either way, if we're conscious of the Lord, then that's the agony, that we're actually separated from Him. But if we're just in material consciousness, it's just the pain of repeated birth and death. The jala, the illusion of the material world, is like abdi, the vast bottomless ocean in which we are drowning, magnam. This is the cause of atidinam, our fallen, our condition of extreme distress. The most ati, very fallen, atidinam. Another meaning, he explains, is being bereft of sadhusanga, the association of saintly devotees. Then we experience distress. So if we're outside of the association of devotees, then there is great distress. And this whole thing is compounded by one thing, which is mentioned in this verse, in the last line. Grihanesha mam agyam ediyakshi drisha. Agyam, being ignorant about what to do. Therefore, kripa drishti vrishtya, please bestow your merciful glance like a shower of nectar, thereby uplifting and enthusing us with life. Anugrihana. Thereupon, ediyakshi drishya, please become visible before our eyes. This is the significance of this prayer. So, of course, Krishna has become visible before our eyes in the form of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda and Sri Sri Radha Yashoda Damodar, I should say, as well. So we're very fortunate, but we've just got to realize it, that actually there is Krishna. I'm sure most of you realize, but I have yet to realize, I think. So that's something along the lines of these two verses, 5 and 6 of Sri Damodarastika. Is there any comments or realizations anybody would like to share?